Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Tonight's reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the Scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. Hear the word of the Lord. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him, meaning Jesus, to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What are you feeling chained to lately? What is keeping you shackled? Maybe it's the fact that your anger keeps rearing its ugly head and spilling out onto everyone else that's closest to you. Maybe it's an addiction that you've tried over and over to stop, but you keep running back to the same thing that gives you a false but immediate comfort and temporarily dulls the pain. Maybe it's a relationship that you have tried tirelessly to make work, but yet no one is willing to change how they are functioning, which contributes to the unhealthiness of the relationship. Maybe it's an illness that you or a loved one has been struggling with for years, and it seems like there is nothing else that can be done. No doctors have any answers to heal you, and you feel like you have exhausted all your options. Maybe it's your worries that you are chained to. Your mind just keeps going, and you can't turn off the constant what-ifs and rabbit trails that keep you up at night as you're fearful of your future. Maybe you are chained to debt. You try to work harder and longer hours, but the mountain of money you owe only seems to keep getting bigger. Maybe you are chained to what other people think about you as you continuously do things to please people, even though it's slowly killing you internally. Maybe you are chained to your past. You try to move forward, but your past continues to haunt you and still affects you to this day. Or maybe it's something else. So what are you feeling chained to today? What is keeping you shackled? And what does Good Friday have to do with freeing you from those chains? See, it's ironic that we call this day good when everything that happened on this day wasn't good. Jesus, the once celebrated rabbi and teacher who had an influential following of thousands, was now on trial in front of the Roman governor called Pontius Pilate because the religious leaders were accusing Jesus of blasphemy, meaning that he was claiming to be God. And they were accusing him of inciting violence when he said that the temple would be destroyed. The once thriving ministry and teachings of Jesus were now no more. The disciples who promised to follow him till their death were nowhere to be found. The same crowds who worshiped with palm branches shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel," were the same people who days later yelled, "Crucify him." But Pilate responded to the crowd, Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. And so Pilate decided to grant their demand. Scourging was done by the Romans to criminals before every execution. According to the Journal of the American Medical Association, Dr. William D. Edwards wrote about what Roman soldiers used in the scourging of Jesus. The usual instrument was a short whip, a flagrum or a flagellum, with several single or braided leather tongs of various lengths, in which small iron balls or sharp pieces of sheep bones were tied at intervals. Occasionally, stars, meaning sticks, also were used. For scourging, the man was stripped of his clothing, and his hands were tied to an upright post. The back, buttocks, and legs were flogged either by two soldiers or by one who alternated positions. As the Roman soldiers repeatedly struck the victim's back with full force, the iron balls would cause deep contusions, and the leather tongs and sheep bones would cut into the skin and subcutaneous tissues. Then, as the flogging continued, the lacerations would tear into the underlying skeletal muscles and produce quivering ribbons of bleeding flesh. Pain and blood loss generally set the stage for a circulatory shock. The extent of blood loss may well have determined how long the victim would survive on the cross. See, Jesus being vulnerable with all the scourging and with no sleep, Jesus was forced to carry a crossbar weighing anywhere from 75 to 125 pounds as he walked in a procession with other criminals 2.5 miles up a hill to a place of his death. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. This place, known as the Skull, was a hill that criminals had to walk up carrying the horizontal crossbeam of a cross, and this was the place where the Romans humiliated and tortured people publicly as examples to other people in order to deter them from committing similar acts. Pastor David Guzik said, "The combination of scourging and crucifixion made death on the cross especially brutal. When the nail was driven through their wrist, it severed the large median nerve. This stimulated nerve produced excruciating bolts of fiery pain in both arms and often gave the victim a claw-like grip in the hands. Beyond the extreme pain, the major effect of crucifixion was to restrict normal breathing. The weight of the body pulling down on the arms and shoulders tended to fix the respiratory muscles in an inhalation state and hinder exhalation. The lack of adequate respiration resulted in severe muscle cramps, which further hindered breathing. And to get a good breath, the victim had to push against the feet and flex the elbows, pulling from the shoulders. And putting the weight of the body on the feet produced searing pain, and flexing of the elbows twisted the hands hanging on the nails. Each effort to get a proper breath was agonizing, exhausting, and led to a sooner death. But in spite of what was happening to him, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus asked to forgive people who were putting him to death and who showed no sign of repentance. They were the Roman soldiers who beat him and nailed him to the cross, the corrupt religious leaders who scoffed at him, the Roman politicians who sided with popular opinion instead of administering justice, the disciples who abandoned him, the bystanders who jeered at him, and even us who would probably have done the same. The ones who think that we can do life without God, who think that we know better than God, the ones who ignore his ways, but this call to forgive would open up the way for salvation. And it would open up that way for all people who do not know what they are doing. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Jesus was suffering the most horrible and painful death ever devised by humans while dying on the cross. Yet he looked at the people responsible for his suffering, and he still prayed for their forgiveness. There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." This sign was used by the Romans to put Jewish people in their place by making an example of Jesus. But the sign was ironic. Here, a king who was stripped, embarrassed, and executed for all to see had, from a worldly view, obviously lost his kingdom forever. But in spite of what humans were doing, God knew that the death and eventual resurrection of Jesus would strike a death blow to Satan's rule and break the power of sin over all of humanity. Because of what was being done to Jesus, Jesus would be the King of the Jews and the Gentiles as he establishes his eternal authority over earth and over our hearts. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." While hanging on the cross and tortured, one of the criminals literally joined his torturers in hostility, yelling insults at Jesus. This criminal is receiving his own death sentence and with his final breath decides to mock Jesus along with the crowd. This criminal was next to God, the Savior, who would save him, but yet in his pride, he rejected Jesus and all that Jesus represented. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Whereas the other criminal hanging on the other side of Jesus responds sympathetically and with faith. And he openly makes a confession in front of Jesus and those present, agreeing that he and the other criminal deserve punishment for their crimes and are deserving of death, but recognizes that Jesus has done nothing wrong and is innocent. This criminal, by contrast to the other criminal, realizes his sins, recognizes Jesus as the one who forgives sins, and he repents, trusting that Jesus will show him mercy. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It is remarkable that while the disciples who followed and lived with Jesus for 3 years abandoned the Lord, whereas this man who knew nothing about the life of following Jesus believed in Jesus to save him in his last hour of his life. He had probably heard of Jesus' prayer to forgive his executioners, and it gave this criminal the open door to admit his own sins and his own hopelessness and receive salvation for himself. Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." See, even though this criminal was physically bound on the cross, based on what Jesus said made him free. His freedom came from the one thing that he could do, which was plead with Christ for forgiveness and mercy. And even though it hurt Jesus to even speak, because each time he spoke, he needed to pull himself up on the cross to catch his breath. And the words from Jesus meant forgiveness and salvation for the one receiving it. See, Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. And that includes you and me, because we are all lost because of our sin. What is sin? Well, sin is rebellion against God, and it's missing the mark of what God would have wanted for our lives. Sin is breaking the laws of God and creating our own standards for our lives. And sin entered into this world because God gave humans a free will to choose Him or not to choose Him. And whenever someone has a free will, they have the freedom to make whatever choices they want, which brings with them consequences to those choices. And since the first two humans, Adam and Eve, chose to go their own way apart from God, their inner nature was transformed by their sin of rebellion, bringing to them physical and spiritual death, which would be passed on to all who came after them. And because of our sin, not only can we not experience fellowship with God here on earth, but we'll be separated from Him for all of eternity, also known as hell. And so we broke off the relationship with God when we chose to do things our own way apart from Him, which is why we feel broken, because of that brokenness. And it affects our lives, it affects those around us, and it affects the world that we live in. Look around and we can all agree that the world is broken. But not just that, we are broken because of our sin. And our sin puts us in chains in which we can't fix. We can't break ourselves out of these chains. In fact, we are slaves to our sin. Sin has mastery over all of humanity, which is why even when we don't want to do wrong, we end up doing wrong. See, our sin puts us in a debt. And in order to pay for that sin, someone has to now die for that debt. And God wanted to set us free from the power of sin and death. And so His solution for our sin problem was to come as a man named Jesus. And Jesus would be the one who would reestablish the relationship between humanity and God. And by dying on a cross for our sins, that would happen. Jesus would choose to take on our sins, dying in our place so that we don't have to. And why was He able to do this for all of humanity? Because when Jesus came to earth, He lived the perfect life without sin. And so someone who is without sin is now able to take the place and die for someone who has sin. And why was He able to die for the sins of all of humanity? And the reason why is because an infinite God can die for infinite sins. That is why Jesus did what He did, because it was for us. And while Jesus was hanging on the cross, before He breathed His last breath, Jesus said, "It is finished," meaning it is paid in full. Finished meant that Jesus did everything that He needed to do on earth in order for God and humanity to be reconciled. He did everything that needed to be done in order to eliminate the debt of sin. He did everything in order to provide an avenue through which our sin could finally be forgiven. He did everything so that the power of sin and Satan was finished and sin would have no mastery over our lives anymore. Like the modern version of the song Amazing Grace says, "My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace." See, we were supposed to pay for what we had done to Him and to others. We were supposed to die. But with every beating that He endured, He had our freedom in mind. With every nail and thorn that pierced His flesh, He had our freedom in mind. With every ridicule that He took, He had our freedom in mind. It was all done so that we could be free and be free to live with God in relationship once again. And Jesus took on all of our sin, and by doing that, He was separated from His Father, which brought pain and agony that was even more severe than what He faced when He was scourged and hung on a cross. But yet, it was all worth it, because he had our freedom and forgiveness in mind. And these two criminals who hung on crosses next to Jesus teach us that there are really only two responses that we can have when it comes to Jesus. We can respond like the criminal who hurled insults at Jesus, blaming him for our predicaments, holding on to our pride, being unrepentant and therefore left in our sins. Or we can respond like the saved criminal, where we realize that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, resulting in us being forgiven, welcomed into God's kingdom, and ultimately set free from the things that chain us. And all of us have that choice to make. If we are all offenders with a sin problem and a death sentence on our heads, which criminal will you be like when it comes to the one who can save you and even free you? And if you are not a follower of Jesus, I pray that you will have the same kind of humility as the repentant criminal, realizing that you cannot save yourself and that you need a Savior. And that is why this day is called good. Because when we humbly realize and admit that we need a Savior, we realize that we are broken. When we realize all these things that we can't fix ourselves, when we realize that we are chained to the things that hurt ourselves and even hurt those around us, it is only when we declare our need for the Savior that we can be freed from what continuously chains us, free from our unrighteous anger, free from our addictions, free from the unhealthiness in our relationships, free from the hurts of our past, free from what other people think of us, free from our worries, and we can be in a place of freedom, even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of our suffering, and even in the midst of our predicaments that don't change. That is why today is good. Because for those who put their trust and faith in Jesus for their salvation, we will be with God for now and for all of eternity. And if this is not a decision that you have made before, and if you want to do that right now, I'm going to invite you to pray with me right now, and you can say this. Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help to transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And as we reflect on all that Jesus endured so that we could be free and made right with God, may we think about that Friday evening when our Lord was taken away from us in death, when his body was taken down from the cross, laid in a tomb, and the stone rolled over the opening of the entrance. And in a few days, we know what happens. But today, let us sit with the reality of what Jesus has done for all of us, that in him, it is finished, and that in him, Jesus has set you free. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for what you have done for us on the cross in order to set us free from our sin so that we can finally be made right with you. God, we want to learn what that means to live into that freedom, and we want to experience the kind of life that you have for us. So may this day be that reminder that Friday is good because of what you ultimately did for us. In your precious name we pray, amen. You know, we hope that you will come and join us for our Easter service and celebration beginning right at 10 a.m. at the Ferryway School. Now, friends, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.